Hi, this is James Barris. I hope you find this talk supports you in your practice. If you'd like to support my teaching, you can use the donate button underneath my picture on Dharma Seed to do that. Your support is greatly appreciated. So, Monday is Earth Day, which first started in 1970. So this is the 54th Earth Day, April 22nd. And usually when Earth Day comes, unless there's a real focus on it, it just kind of comes and goes, you know, oh, that's nice. Oh, it's Earth Day. And then you go about your business if you're like most people. But with so much going on, and we can get diverted from the things that really touch us in a beautiful and tender way. And for me, remembering our home connects me with the big picture and connects me with what's really important. It connects me with how much I love life and how amazing it is to be alive. In the Tibetan tradition, they say to reflect on how amazing it is to be born, and particularly how amazing it is to be born in the human realm. This is a very rare occurrence where we can actually appreciate the world around us in a different way, probably than most other sentient beings. I wouldn't say all, you know, I have no idea what, on at least on this planet, what the consciousness is of dolphins or whales or other mammals or other sentient beings. But we have this capacity to appreciate and love life in a way that's different than most animals. In the Buddhist cosmology, the animal realm, mostly, which is said to be a lower realm than the human realm, because mostly animals are looking for their next meal or how they're going to survive and escape from other predators. But we aren't so preoccupied as animals, other animals like that. And we have this capacity to know, we have this capacity to appreciate. We have what's called a self-reflexive awareness, where we have awareness of being alive. And as Brian Swim, a wonderful spiritual teacher and scientist, says, we are star stuff. We are made of stars, and we are a star's way of knowing itself. I love that flip of perspective. We are a star's way of knowing and honoring and celebrating itself through us. You might just try that on for size. Oh, you are a star's way. You are life celebrating itself through this form called you. So I wanted to spend our time just remembering our home and how much we love it and how to express that love and care and honor it. As many of you know, I've been involved and concerned about climate for some time, and some of the things I'll be sharing, probably some of you have heard before. The Buddha repeated a lot, and I will too, as far as sharing some resources. But first, to get in touch with the situation. This is from an article By David Wallace Wells, who writes for the New York Times. And he wrote a book called The Uninhabitable Earth that really woke me up, where he says, "It is, I promise, worse than you think. Absent a significant adjustment to how billions of humans conduct their lives, parts of the earth will likely become close to uninhabitable and other parts horrifically inhospitable as soon as the end of the century. Even when we train our eyes on climate change, we're unable to comprehend its scope." So I was first motivated to do what I could and get involved with climate issues when I read Bill McKibben's book, Earth, where it showed where we're heading. And I was distraught and distressed. And I said, whoa, what do I do with this? And went to my friend, Lou Leonard, who was in the head of the World Wildlife Fund climate program, and also a Dharma friend. And I said, well, Lou, what can I do? I'm just teaching, sharing the Dharma and teaching awakening joy. And he said, hey, James, joy might be one of the most important things we need to remember. I said, oh, okay, I can do that. And that's one reason why my last 15 plus years or so, my koan has been both talking about joy and about, as the Buddha says, cultivating wholesome states, and at the same time being in touch with the situation of our planet and seeing about applying, loving the earth and feeling the joy and the gratitude of the earth in meaningful action, and putting them both together. Here, I'm gonna just for a moment invite us to look at our planet as I share the screen. Take a look. Oops. What amazing. I'll move this out. An amazing speck of dust going through space that contains everything in our existence. And it's just this dot, minuscule. You couldn't even see it if you're very far away from another distant planet. And that's it. All of joy, all of sorrow, all of sunrises and sunsets and tsunamis and volcanoes and love and hate and everything, all on that planet. That is our stage. That's our playground. Just to look at it, I thought it would be good to look at it and just let ourselves be touched and tune into whatever sense of appreciation there is as you look at this planet. Happened to be focusing on the United States, could have been any number of places. This is a NASA photograph. That's our beautiful planet. And it's in trouble and needs our care and our love. So how to address both the beauty and the concern in a skillful way, and with the fact that it's Earth Day and that Joanna Macy podcast is opening, I thought we'd use her image of how to fully engage with the reality, and I wanted to share with you Joanna's spiral of active hope. And this is how she approaches and suggests that everyone who loves the earth and wants to care about it might use this as a model for engagement. So here is the spiral of active hope. Oops. It starts out the lower right with gratitude, that you start out by getting in touch with how much you love the planet and love life. And that opens the heart, that helps you feel connected, that helps you want to care for what you appreciate and what you love. And as you're in touch with that gratitude, then little by little, you have more space to open up to honoring your pain, whatever pain there is about this situation that we're in, from that wider space of appreciation. If you go right to the horror of where we are, it gets overwhelming, but you need to stay in touch with how much you love the planet. Just like maybe if you saw the beautiful movie, the powerful movie, An Inconvenient Truth, Al Gore was behind. After the truth, and they open up to how much you love life and how much you want to work towards this planet. So gratitude, then honoring our pain. And as you honor the pain and you see with fresh eyes, then you go to metabolizing that pain and you see with new eyes, you see the possibilities, you see what your call to do that can make a difference, and then you go forth. So gratitude, honoring the pain of the situation, metabolizing the pain and seeing with new eyes, and then you go forth into action. So I want to now come back here. So first, with gratitude, I want to spend particularly time on this gratitude, at least for a while. I'd like you to get in touch with your connection to the earth or to nature. And if you would, maybe close your eyes for a moment. So this is not just a one-way lecture. Get in touch with what you love, if there are things that you love about nature. What delights you? For me, walking in the redwoods by the stream trail, not far from our home with Jane, very often, just going in touch, being in touch with the massive redwoods, oh, that does something to me. Notice for you, what touches you about nature, about life, about this planet? Remember the last time you were experiencing, whether in the mountains or by water or out in a meadow or in a forest or near your home in a park. And remember the last time, and remember how it feels. What happens to you when you're connected with nature? And now I'd like to I open up the chat box, and I'd love for you to put in the chat box what really moves you, and how it makes you feel. Let's get a few responses here. What came to your mind? You know how to use the chat box. It's at the bottom of the screen, probably for you. What touches you? Go ahead. Caterpillars turning to butterflies. All my problems seem to dissolve when I'm in nature. The beautiful creek at the JCC and wildlife, mostly birds. The scent in nature, the variety of plants, the calm. Love the feeling of wind on my skin. Sitting in the yard today, looking at the clover and wild and wonderful flowers. Watching all the different birds in my garden makes me happy and relaxed. Magnificent Japanese maple tree in our backyard. My brain is affected from the chemicals emitted by trees. Great blue herons, such ancient primordial creatures, feeling the sun on my face. Just remember how it feels and how you are moved. Because the more you remember it, the more you feel connected with it and have that sense of gratitude and remembering you care for what you love. So now I'd like to show you a clip. I showed this a couple of years ago. I took a look and saw on gratitude and on first a little girl talking about how she feels when she's in nature, and then this beautiful Louis Schwartzberg film on gratitude that Brother David Steindl-Rast is narrating. So, let's start this.
When I watch TV, it's just some shows that you just that are pretend. And when you explore, you get more imagination than you already had. And when you get more imagination, it makes you want to go deeper in so you can get more and see beautiful things. Like it could the path, if it's a path, it could lead you to a beach or something, and it could be beautiful.
You think this is just another day in your life? It's not just another day. It's the one day that is given to you today. It's given to you. It's a gift. It's the only gift that you have right now, and the only appropriate response is gratefulness. If you do nothing else but to cultivate that response to the great gift that this unique day is, if you learn to respond as if it were the first day in your life and the very last day, then you will have spent this day very well. Begin by opening your eyes and be surprised that you have eyes you can open. That incredible array of colors that is constantly offered to us for pure enjoyment. Look at the sky. We so rarely look at the sky. We so rarely note how different it is from moment to moment with clouds coming and going. We just think of the weather, and even of the weather we don't think of all the many nuances of weather. We just think of good weather and bad weather. This day, right now, is unique weather. Maybe a kind that will never exactly in that form come again. The formation of clouds in the sky will never be the same that is right now. Open your eyes, look at that. Look at the faces of people whom you meet. Each one has an incredible story behind their face. A story that you could never fully fathom. Not only their own story, but the story of their ancestors. We all go back so far. And in this present moment, on this day, all the people you meet, all that life from generations and from so many places all over the world, flows together and meets you here. Like a life-giving water, if you only open your heart and drink. Open your heart to the incredible gifts that civilization gives to us. You flip a switch and there's electric light. You turn a faucet and there's warm water and cold water. And drinkable water. It's a gift that millions and millions in the world will never experience. So these are just a few of an enormous number of gifts to which we can open your heart. And so I wish you that you will open your heart to all these blessings and let them flow through you. That everyone whom you will meet on this day will be blessed by you. Just by your eyes, by your smile, by your touch, just by your presence. Let the gratefulness overflow into blessing all around you. Then it will really be a good day.
Pretty good, huh? I've seen that many times, and every time I see it, I can't help but be touched. This is our home, and we're all sharing it together, you know. And how interesting, you know, you look at the news, whatever the news is, which is sensationalized to get your amygdala and sympathetic nerve system activated, but you just incline the mind in another way and see, wow, amazing, We're all alive, all sharing this planet. And a smile is just a moment away. I mean, how many times did you smile looking at the people, the beautiful, beautiful faces, young, old, all different backgrounds, and just you see a smile, you see that light, and it lights up in you. And the same thing goes for you when you smile. Not that you have to be smiling all the time, that's a bit much, but to not block it when it's coming through you. As I say, the way I think of it, it's just life loving itself, life celebrating itself. That's what one way to think of as a smile. So given that first gratitude that Joanna talks about, then there's this sense of honoring the pain and not hiding, not pretending that everything is okay, but being willing in small doses, titrating our dukkha is how I put it, in small doses of or manageable doses in your window of tolerance to feel, oh, wow, we're hurting here and I care. And it's important to let yourself open to the grief. I've gone through in these last 15, 20 years or so, gone through a number of periods where I was so sad, you know, and can touch that place. You're going through some periods of real feeling really depressed at the situation, and then coming out, you have to honor it, but not getting stuck there. Because if you get stuck there, then you just have more people going around feeling depressed and despairing. That wouldn't serve anybody. So you process it, you care about it, you feel that pain, you use mindful self-compassion, you use mindfulness of feelings, the RAIN acronym, you feel the grief fully, hopefully not alone. It's too much to go through alone, but with others, you find others, and when you share with others your pain or your concern, something happens where we can help each other hold it and see with fresh eyes. That's the next chapter. See with fresh eyes, which means a few things to me. One, letting go of conclusions of, oh, I know where this is heading. Yeah, we're going to be in for difficult times, but not to draw conclusions of, oh, we are doomed and there's no point in making any effort to make it a better world. No, you see with fresh eyes and you see, oh, the world needs as much caring and love as it can get. On my emails, pull it up here. I sign my emails with a sign off that if you've gotten emails from me, you've seen one email, one quote from my friend Terry Patton, who wrote a book called A New Republic of the Heart. He says, if the measure of a human life is a chance to have significance that extends beyond itself, then we've hit the jackpot. We're alive at game time on the planet when everything we value is genuinely threatened, when it's time for all hands on deck. Wow, we can be the heroes of our own action movie, you know, with the hero or the heroine is gonna, it's up to them to save the earth. Well, guess what? It's us. We're the heroes. We can be the heroes, and we don't do it alone. As another quote on my email signed off from Belvy Rook says, this is the moment we were born for. Instead of, oh no, how did that happen? Oh, because we have the medicine. That's the amazing thing. The Dharma, as my friend Bob Doppelt, who's a climate expert and does a lot of amazing work in communities and with Congress, actually, he said to me a number of years ago, the Dharma holds the key. Because there is understanding within the Dharma of how to see that we're part of nature, not a dominion over nature, that we are interconnected, as it says in the Buddha's teaching of non-separation. And there is an understanding of cause and effect, that actions have consequences. It's amazing how few people in power get actions have consequences. If they care for their children or grandchildren, but we see, oh yeah, actions have consequences. And to live with integrity and to live in a spirit of non-harming is in harmony with life on this planet. And it up-levels us so that we become stewards rather than exploiters. And that we have some power, we have some possibility when we focus in the right direction. Those are all Dharma principles, which my friend Bob said, this is why the Dharma holds the key. So there we are, Dharma students who love the planet, who want to bring our practice into our life as much as possible. We have the medicine. Isn't that amazing? Wow. What are you going to do with that? Are you going to sit around and say, oh, too bad we're going down the tubes? No. You want to have what's called fierce compassion, where you have compassion, you really care, and you're not sitting idly by, but you want to make a difference and feel your power in doing so. And another little clip I want to play for you. I've played it in the past. One of my favorite clips from Julia Butterfly Hill, who's been an inspiration for me, talking about fierce compassion. This is just a couple of minutes when she came and visited Awakening Joy course many years ago. Listen to Julia Butterfly Hill talking about fierce compassion, about making a difference.
The beautiful thing for me is that through love, I can transform my anger, my rage, my cynicism into what I call fierce compassion. That it doesn't lose its teeth. I got a little bit of an edge to me. I don't know if you've realized that tonight or not. I'm not sure. I have a little bit of an edge. And people ask me that a lot because some people are so attached to the anger is what sources them. They ask me, well, if I were to give up my anger, what would I do? Like, my anger is what gets me out of bed in the morning. I'm like, well, why is it that anger gets you out of bed? Why do you choose that instead of love? Like, it's actually just a choice. But in the space of choosing to transform through love, I don't lose the edge. I don't lose the fierceness of my passion. But fierce compassion gets the chainsaw of judgment out of the space and gets me present to every breath is a miracle. How do I want to live my life in a way that honors that miracle? Wow. I get goosebumps when I get present to that. That's such a more joyful way to live life. Joy, awakening joy. Joy gets awakened every moment that I get judgment out of the space, get love in the space, and get myself in service to love. Because ultimately, my service to others is about bowing to the feet of love every day and saying, what would love have me think in this moment? What would love have me say in this moment? And what would love have me do in this moment? We may or may not win. We may or may not lose. Who knows? We don't have the crystal ball. But what I do know is every day that I wake up and choose to think, speak, and act in love, I won. And hopefully others win as a result.
Oops. So fierce compassion, that means that what you do makes a difference and is also contagious. So here's where Joanna's wheel of seeing with fresh eyes and then going forth is so crucial. Rather than thinking, oh, what can I do? You find out, oh, what can I do? What can I do? And whatever you do, if it's done in service to loving the planet, there's your practice. It can be an ongoing metta practice, you know, although it might not make so much of a difference when I turn off my lights when I leave a room. I'm doing it as a metta practice. I'm doing it as a practice, oh, I love the earth. And I'm doing those kinds of metta practices all the time. When you take out your recycling instead of, oh, I gotta do recycling now. Okay, they're picking up tomorrow. Ah, I'm doing it as a metta practice. Do it as a metta practice. And you might also find some other ways to engage. I can share with you, for me, personally, one of the most important ways that for me, I can think of engaging is voting for people who believe in science and are committed to a healthy planet. There are some of those, there's a lot of those. You know, I'm not going to get into politics right now, although if you want to ask me privately, I'm happy to tell you everything that I'm doing. But I got involved in the last election and as my climate action and really put my heart into it, and it felt really good. And in fact, we did make a difference, the particular project that I took on. And I'm doing that again now, gearing up for a whole other climate action around voting for people who have a vision of wanting a planet that's healthy and inclusive and compassionate and people who care. So whatever I do, I'm doing as, for me, my climate action. You might have other kinds of cares. You might care about racial inequity or other kinds of ways that we live on this planet and we want to share. Of underserved populations, of unfairness in privilege and not privilege. Whatever it is, it gets affected by what you put your energy in. So as we as we come to a close on this piece, and then I'll open it up for some conversation, I just invite you once again to go inside on this upcoming Earth Day, letting go of your conclusions of, oh, I know what's going to happen, both in the coming decades in Earth or in the near future or whatever. Let go of conclusions and just get in touch with how much you care about life and about the health of this planet, this home that we share, out of that gratitude. And then if you can get in touch with how you might put that care and love into meaningful action, get in touch with what might move you. As Andrew Harvey says, follow your heartbreak and let yourself be touched, and then meaningful action. Action absorbs anxiety. That's what Angelus Arian says. What can I do that's going to really absorb some anxiety and harness my care and my love? And if it's doing your recycling as metta practice or getting involved with some kind of a cause, feel the wholesomeness of that. And if you do come up with something, then make a pledge to yourself that you can do it to honor the Earth on this coming Earth Day. Make it as a promise to yourself and to the Earth. Notice how good it feels. And remember this and include it in your Dharma practice. Whatever you do, let your compassion and your caring not just be for yourself or those you care about that are close to you or others, but for the Earth. Include the Earth in there. May it be so. Okay, so we have some time for conversation. Anything that might have come up for you or that you want to bring to the group, you can either raise your hand if you're on the video screen I can see, or go to the reactions box and raise your hand there. And can have some dialogue. How are you right now? What's going on for you? Do you care? Let's hear it. Yeah, John. Hi.
Hi, James. The constant invitation to be in the present Sometimes I find that the big, beautiful inspirations get in the way of the immediate appreciation, or the side of me that wants to be the hero and going out and getting solar to this place or that place. It's just this project of inner development and outer flowering. Can you talk anything about that balance, or am I making any sense at all?
I think so, but I want to clarify. So are you saying the thought of the big picture, where there's so much that needs to be done, can be overwhelming and get in the way of you? Or what's the place in enjoying your own small personal life when there's that bigger picture? Is that?
It's a little bit different. It's
go ahead, let me hear.
I was finding myself, when confronted with a lot of need, almost becoming very grasping. I wanted to get 4,000 pumps to Malawi, and we only got 400 pumps to Malawi. And there's this almost a hungry ghost aspect to it that.
Mm-hmm. I see. Yeah.
And it may be that the most important thing I'm doing is having some interaction with a young person in Malawi, and that's the whole thing I'm supposed to be doing.
That's the thing. You don't know how your actions, the seeds that your actions plant. You have no idea. That's where this is not a test of grandiosity. Can I save the world, and can I get, and you did, you know, I know about your trip there, and you did beautiful work, and it was fulfilling while you were engaged in it, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, of course. I'm going back for 2 more months. This
yeah, you're going back for 2 more months. So there, not to diminish it because you didn't get the goal. This is actually Joanna Macy's definition of what she calls active hope: identifying the outcomes we hope for and then playing our part in bringing them about to the best of our ability, focusing on what we deeply long for and then proceeding to take determined steps in that direction, but without the attachment, just for the goodness of it. Just like in the Talmud, it says you do the right thing just because of the rightness, without getting attached to results. In the Bhagavad Gita, it says the same thing. You do what you do without attachment to the results. Because if you get too attached to the results, then it's easy to feel disappointed instead of exhilarated. And you have no idea the seeds that you plant. I can remember teaching, it was a small little workshop, and not that many people came, and somebody came who was inspired and has done amazing things in the world. You got no idea. So you do what you do from joy. You do it with love, you do it with joy, and you feel good about what you do, instead of somehow measuring it in some kind of false standard. That cuts off the joy, that cuts off the love. I'm glad you're going back for another 2 months, but have a goal and let it inspire you rather than deflate you. Go for it. But keep the joy and keep the love. Anything else we just We don't have that much more time, but if anybody has something on their mind? If not, we'll end the evening. Yeah, Ariane, hi.
Hi. I missed a little bit of what you said, so apologies if you've already said this. I was busy with some family stuff for part of your talk. But I'm very encouraged, just wanted to say, by how even if it doesn't feel like we're doing something that is 100% working for the protection of the planet in a very direct and obvious way, that there is so much value in doing the small things with a heart for the planet. Is that a little Absolutely. Bit?
Yeah, you do it as a metta practice, as an ongoing metta practice. I mean, you can't lose that. Yeah. You're just connecting with life, connecting with your heart, and connecting with how much you appreciate the planet. And the more you deepen that, the more you become a kind of field of that goodness.
I'm starting to get that it's, you know, 20 years ago, I wanted to do something that was more directly environmental protection and protection of our planet. And my life got sidetracked with a lot of other responsibilities or so. Mm-hmm. And I still am doing small things that ultimately I really want to be directed towards a love for the planet. And I'm like, but am I waiting too long? And what I'm starting to hear from you is that it's not just the tangible effect and the measurable effect of what I'm doing, but like you just said, that field, that if I can be in touch with both my pain and distress,
yes,
about what could happen or what is happening, and at the same time, my love for, you know, the beauty that is still here, or the beauty that we are losing or have been losing to a certain degree, that energy is created in a way, and even a small, something that seems like a small impact can have a greater impact because of the consciousness behind it that I'm sort of participating in.
Yes, you are a field of caring and of goodness. I'm just seeing the flags behind you up on hanging. There's a dolphin and earth. How about every time you go past those, or if you can do it as a playful practice, just get in touch with how much you love the planet. And let that stoke whatever wants to come through. It's both, yes, I'm doing what I can, my small things from love. And at the same time, the other side of it, Ariane, I would just encourage you to stay open to hearing what calls you. And if something calls you, one of my other axioms is, this is no time to play small. So not to think, oh, I don't know if I can do that. Do it, and notice how good it feels. But until you're moved or inspired, do whatever you do from that place of love, and let it feel great. Let it bring you joy. Not, oh, this isn't enough. Just, this is where I am right now. And if you're called for something greater, don't hold back.
Yeah.
Do it from love.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm still feeling my way into that teaching. So I get it, but I don't get it yet, but I'm getting there.
let it just keep on percolating, or the seed sprouting, whatever metaphor you want to use. And for anybody involved, like I said, if there's nothing else that you can think of to do, encourage people to vote for people who care and who care about the planet and who care about fair distribution of resources. And that's probably going to be as meaningful an action as you can do in these next 6 or 7 months. All hands on deck. This is the moment we were born for. So let's dedicate our time here. How good it is to be in community. And may our time together touch us, inspire us to be a field of metta for the world and care for the earth. And may it be of benefit to all beings and this beautiful planet.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.